I have said many times, there's only one problem in the world today. Does anybody remember what it is? There's only one problem that has to do with the Cowboys. Huh? Do what? It's authority. Authority is the only problem. Who's boss? Who's in charge? This is a problem in the world today. All right? I'm going to write the Greek word for authority. Okay? This, ek, out. Out of. Okay? Ousia. Okay? This is the Greek word here. Ek, ousia. Out, and this is being. Out of being. Now, God is the authority, and I'm going to call him the supreme authority. He's supreme. So he's the supreme sovereign. A sovereign is a king who's in charge. Okay? So God is also called sometimes the Most High. The Most High God. So he's the Most High God. Okay, that means everybody else is submitted to, is subordinate to God. Okay, so if you just stop right there and don't forget this, that there's only one God. There's only one God. Amen? Does everybody have that down? Because everything on the earth is going to depend upon knowing that. Because everyone, if I were the devil, if I were Satan, I would rebel against that authority. I would rebel against it. And we who are in the flesh, we often rebel against God's supreme authority. We just don't like him being the top guy. Dictating when I sleep, when I eat, what clothes I wear, what I say, what I do, what I think, what I feel, what I want. If he dictates everything, then he's God. Where's me come in? Where is my place? And every little kid in the whole world always wants to know, are you my boss? Are you the one that tells me what to do? You're my older brother. Do you tell me what to do? Mother said I should do this, but Dad said I should do this. But I want to do this. So who does the child obey? He's confused. Does my older sister tell me what to do? Does my neighbor tell me what to do? My mother said I have to stay in the house. Come on out. Who do I obey? That other kid or my mother? Do you all understand the problem of the world?
Yes, sir.
This is the problem in the world today. Is little kids don't know who has authority over me. And they want to get it down. Now, you're my grandparent. Do grandparents have authority over little kids? That's important. Because sometimes mom and I will take care of the grandkids, and the parent might not be into spanking, but we are. So if I give my word to somebody, that's the end of it. You see? Because if I give my word, I back it up. And fury comes out of me if anyone disobeys. And I can sometimes see my grandkids, because they're not used to me being their boss, but their parents went out and we took care of them that evening. And then I'd say, go do this, or stop speaking right now, or whatever I might say. And the next moment that they don't obey immediately, fire comes out of my mouth. Hey! You do what you're told! See, and they don't know that, grandfather. They're like, they don't, now that a big question comes into their head, who is this? That was my grandfather that I loved. I hate this one. So, you see, children want to be clear, and the whole world wants to be clear. Is the IRS my boss? Is the government my boss? Who's my boss? Is my boss my boss? Who is going to tell me what to do? And so everybody is confused these days. Ever since the Reformation, you realize before the Reformation, nobody had a problem. When the Pope said, that's it, he spoke with God's voice. And he was the voice of God. Vox Dei. When he spoke, that was God. And when the emperor spoke, he was God. So now I had two gods, Pope, Emperor. So, who was over who? Because I can't be, what if the emperor tells me to pay a tax and the Pope tells me I don't need to? Happened many times. The emperor would say, I want England to send me 10,000 florins of gold. And then maybe the Pope would say, you don't need to. You're part of my jurisdiction. So I have to know who's my boss. Sometimes the emperor was up. Sometimes the Pope was up. Sometimes they were equal. Sometimes one was above the other. Who is my boss? Well, once we chopped the King of England's head off, it was clear he wasn't. That was clear. You are not the boss. Just cut his head right off. That was an interesting confrontation because kings said they were bosses. But are kings over kings? Are there such things as a king over a king? Let's forget all that. I'm illustrating something. The biggest problem in the world today is who's in charge? Who's got the control? Am I self-governing? Am I directly under God? Is there anyone between me and God? Because if so, then I don't have to listen to the Pope. I don't have to listen to the Emperor. I don't have to listen to the King. I only need to know what God hath said. So I better find out what God hath said. Let's at least go back to God. Because maybe I'm self-governing. Maybe I'm my own boss. Fascinating question. What if I rule myself? Do I need a pope? Do I need an emperor? Do I need a king? Do I need a president? What do I need? So, as you can see, it's a huge problem. And the confusion of the world today is based upon that fact that nobody knows who's in charge. Wait a minute. This man's an expert. He went to school. Sometimes they on television even, they'll have a little white robe on. This toothpaste will clean your teeth. And now, is he a boss? Is he an expert? Who's going to tell me what to do? Who's going to tell me what soap to use? Is it up to me or up to you? So, let's start at the simplest level. A child. I wrote child down at the bottom. Now, question for a child is very simple. Who's my boss? Well, that's easy. Mom. Well, it's not so easy. Dad. Well, that's not so easy. Dad isn't here. Dad isn't here. So, is dad over mom, or is dad and mom equal, or is mom over dad? Or is there a dad, or is there a mom? These people today, it's crazy. Little kids are all kind of mixed up, like, which dad? My biological father? Or my adoptive father, or my single parent mother, who's in charge. Difficult for little kids today, difficult for the church today, difficult for everyone today to figure out who's in charge. So, it's not so easy to answer this question. The Bible answers the question. The Bible answers the question. So, let's go back to the Bible. Why did I write that word on the board? Ekousia. Ousia means being. There is no being on earth, there is no being on earth that has life in itself. You are a derivative. You were born, you live a little while, you die. But God has being in himself, and no one gave it to him. So, God is all being, and anything that God says that comes out of all being, being itself, you remember when he said in the Old Testament, Moses asked him, "Well, who should I say sent me?" "Tell them, I am sent you." That's a funny one. I am. I am. So God was saying, I am being itself sends you. Well, do you have a name? Yeah, well, I don't know if you had a name. I mean, could I just say something other than I am? I don't know if they'll know what that means. I am sent me. So he said, I am that I am. That helps. That is an improvement. That is helpful. That is very helpful. I'll tell them that. You see, where is authority? And if you have authority, can you back it up? What if Moses said, I am told me to let my people go, and I'm going to tell Pharaoh to let the people go? It's a big thing, isn't it? So God says, I want my people out of Egypt. I want them in Canaan land. It's a big problem. Can I am back that up? So God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, three people in their line. Wait, what power does Moses have over Pharaoh? Is Moses over Pharaoh? Who has authority? Moses or Pharaoh? But Pharaoh cannot speak in the name of God. He is God. That's powerful. Instead of having a Most High God, Pharaoh himself is the Most High God. That's interesting. Who is God? Who speaks out of being? When Pharaoh dies, what kind of being did he have? Well, let's say it's in his son. So the Son of God then has the being of the God. So Pharaoh's son would have authority if his father had it and gave it to his son. But what if the son dies? Then did Pharaoh have authority? And does he have authority? Because he has no son. When Moses spoke to Pharaoh, he said, your firstborn son will die to strip you of your divinity. You have none. And Pharaoh said, who are you and what God do you speak of? I am God's son, and my son is my son. And so God wiped out his son. Moses was right. He had authority. Remember, he had a stick in his hand? And he said, God, could you give me some things to do so that I can kind of prove that you sent me? And he said, what's in your hand? He said, a stick. He said, that's enough. A stick? What can a stick do? This is my authority. You all see this stick? He held up his stick. It wasn't a, you know, it wasn't a rifle. It's just a stick. And God said, throw the stick down. So he tossed the stick down. Then God said, pick it up. And before he could pick it up, it turned into a snake. I would tell you, that is weird. That stick turned into a snake. He just thought it was a stick, but no, it was a snake. So Moses was kind of amazed, and he said, I don't know which end to pick it up from. How do you pick up a cobra? Pick it up by the head? Pick it up by the tail? Don't know which way to pick it up. So he had to ask God, God, you said pick it up which end? Only God knows which end to pick a stick up. Is it a stick or a snake? If it's a snake, it'll bite you. If it's a stick, you can pick it up easily. So what was it? It was both. Now, God has authority to tell you what to do, and you don't always understand. Moses certainly didn't understand. And a lot of times, God will give you a command, you don't know what he's talking about. You only know what he said to do, but you don't know the meaning of it. Before I obey that, shouldn't I understand the full meaning of it? I don't think so. Well, I'll stay with my husband if I understand why. He may not explain it. He may not explain it. Well, why shouldn't I be able to do that? Well, maybe God said, don't. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. God, could you explain that? He just said, don't. You see, when you have authority, you don't explain. Authority is never explained. Someone who has authority declares it. They don't teach it and explain it. So when I tell my grandson, you go to bed right now. But I don't, right there, you see, he just rebelled. But I don't wanna, but my sister gets to stay, I don't, you know, and they start talking. You can tell that's a rebel. Anybody who talks is a rebel. Did you see that? Now, today's world, there are few authorities. There's almost no authorities. Talkers. Just talkers. Because here's how you back up authority. I said, go to bed right now. But I don't. And you take off your belt. And they understand. Did you see how understanding came so quickly? But it didn't come from talk. It came from taking the belt off and whipping them. Do you understand that? That's authority. That's authority backed up by power. The word for power in the New Testament is dynamite, dunamis. So dynamite or dunamis is like a stick of dynamite. This little stick that God gave me authority over, he gave me authority with this little stick, could turn into dynamite. If it's God and he tells you and you do it, he has to back you up. If it's not God, you say it, you have no authority. You remember when Jesus was teaching, the Pharisees disputed him, and they said, we're in charge here. And Jesus said, no, I'm in charge. And they said, we got more than you got. We've been here for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years. We're here. We're in charge. God gave us the power. It's one of the arguments of the Roman church. Why we're right is because we're old. We've been around for a long time. It means nothing. You have to prove it. Prove it. So, you know, who's in charge? And the people decided. They said, Jesus teaches as one having authority, not like our scribes. Not like them. I don't know if they're telling the truth. And when I teach, sometimes people will say, what you said was God. I heard God when you said that. Somebody said that this morning. When you teach, it's like it awakens me that it's God. But most churches where I've been, I didn't hear it like that. It seemed human. But when you teach, it's like with authority. Do you understand the difference? Now, not everybody in the church reckons or recognizes that authority. Some people think it's like a suggestion. Well, he's saying that. He's just saying it. Would that we had authority in this church. Because then, and by the way, you are among those that recognize most clearly, no one would come on Sunday night just to come and punish yourself with an extra meeting unless you felt there was authority. But on Sunday morning, many come. It's a habit. It's something or other. But they may or not listen to whatever's being said. Just, well, it was interesting this morning. Nah. No authority there. Interesting is worthless. Nothing that I say is interesting. It's either from God or it's satanic. That's all. There's nothing interesting. There's nothing interesting. It's not entertaining. It's to save your life. And if you're saved, it's to sanctify your life if you're saved. And if you're sanctified, then it's to lead your life if you're sanctified. So, unless you're saved, you can't be sanctified. Unless you're sanctified, you can't be led. Unless you're saved, you can't be sanctified. Unless you're sanctified, you can't be led. So, Jesus baptizes those that are saved with the Holy Ghost so they can be sanctified, so that they can be led. That's authority. There is no authority today in the churches. Except it would be the authority that you yourself recognize. And I'll tell you this, the greatest thing you can do in life is find out all the authority of God on the earth and get under it. I'm going to say it again. Your greatest freedom, your greatest liberty, your greatest happiness and joy is to find all the authority you can find and obey it. Submit to it. That's why children are happy. When they're happy. It's because they know my mommy, my daddy told me to do this or to do that. I don't listen to you. I go up to children in the church many times, and they're new. They're new children, newly born, newly here. And I'll walk up to them right away, and the parent is holding them. And I'll walk up to them and hold my arms out so they can come to me. Hi, I'm Pastor Jim. Come to me. But they won't. No child will do it. They look, you know, Russell's sister this morning. She had that little girl with her. And I came up to her right away and I, come to me. I'm smiling, see? She should come. But I have no authority. She doesn't know what a pastor is. She doesn't know my rank under God. She just knows one thing. Mom, save me. That demon is going to get me. That bad person. She had me accurate. She understood. He's stealing me. He's going to hurt me. He's going to get me. She didn't know. She looked at me like, who are you? Mom, I don't know that person. Little children are afraid to follow a voice that is not their authority. Remember Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Those that are of me, follow me. Listen to me. Those that are not, of me. So if I were to say that to my children, they might come to me. Unless I've treated them badly, then they wouldn't come. That's one way you know who's your authority. If your authority is beating you constantly, hurting you, injuring you, that's not your authority. Do you all understand? Your authority, anyone who's not in line with the supreme, sovereign, most high God authority would be a tyrant, a despot, not a good person. However God treats us, that's the way we should treat others. Amen? So, let's say God has beaten me over and over again, injured me continually. I'll probably do the same thing to others. In fact, I will. However my God is, that's the way I'll treat others. If God puts me under burden, commands, difficulties, problems, and troubles, I'll put others under the same. I won't let people go free. However your God is, that's the way you'll be. Because being is God. And when something comes out of being, it's truth. It's real. Now, the only thing that's truth and real is that which is. But how would I know? I'm a child. I'm a wife. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a pastor. I'm a king. I'm an emperor. How do I know? Who's telling the truth? That's why Jesus came. Jesus came on the earth claiming to be the Son of the living God, out of being. He came out of being. Out of being sent him. The one that has authority then, Jesus came saying, I have all authority in heaven and earth. Remember Jesus said that? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That's a lot of authority. All is like eating everything up that is. There's no more. Then the Pope can't have all authority. The Emperor can't have all authority. George Bush can't have all authority. The man with the gun on the street can't have all authority. The man that beats me and chases me down can't have all authority. The IRS can't have all authority. The Senate can't have all authority. The pastor can't have all authority. Who has all authority? Only God. And God, who has all authority, gave all authority to his Son. But Jesus, being a Son, having all authority, where's the authority of the Father then? He holds that authority revocably. That means it's revocable. The Father could take it away from him. So Jesus can only have his authority not in himself, but out of being, out of the Father. Jesus has no authority on his own except what the Father gave him. So he said, the Father hath given me. It was granted to me. So you see how Jesus doesn't have any authority. He has no authority. He can't do anything unless it comes out of the mouth of God. So God speaks out of his mouth and grants to him. He grants to him. He gives to him all authority. Grant, gift, give. So if Jesus then has no authority except that which the Father gives him, so they said, he teaches like one having authority. Jesus has authority. Now, no human being has any authority inherent. Inherent means out of myself. Meaning, another way of saying it, I'm not God. There's only one God, the Most High God. There's not two gods, three gods, four gods, five gods, 10 gods, 20 gods, 1,000 gods. There's only one God. You couldn't have two gods, because if there's two gods, which God is the big God? Which God is the real God? Because maybe one would tell me to do one thing and the other would tell me to do the opposite thing and I wouldn't know which one to do. So in the end, there's only one God, and there can never be 50 gods or 1,000 gods or 100 million gods. There's only one God. The God that is God is God. That's it. How many commanders and generals can you have in an army? Well, there can only be one supreme commander in the army. And maybe the president is over the general. But there can only be one supreme. But maybe the House of Representatives raises the money for it. So even though the president is supreme, if the House won't give him any money, then who is supreme? Who is in charge? And when you give away power, when you give away authority, when you give away a word, it's always defined. It's never clear exactly. So, do I have the authority to command you to take up arms and to go against Al-Qaeda? No, I don't have that authority. So I have authority, but for what? Only for something limited. Do I have authority as a father to spank your child? No, I don't. I only have authority to take care of my own. So who has authority? Every time authority is given or granted, you have to trace it all the way back to the supreme commander to see whether God himself, the Most High God, the God of heaven and earth, the God who created this world. And I'll tell you, the rebellion of our world today is that no one goes back to him. It's part of our rebellion today. Is the United Nations in charge? Is the nation in charge? Is the president in charge? Who's in charge? Is Pastor Jim in charge? Who's in charge? Nobody knows. Confusion today. Absolute confusion. Because if you are confused on this, you're confused on everything. Nothing is going to work. What if you had 100 cats and you tried to line them all up? And you lined them all up. You got them all in line, sitting all in a row. And then you said, forward, march! What would happen? These cats would just, some would sit there, some would lay down, some would jump up on your shoulders. You cannot herd cats. They're not like a school of fish that all go the same way. Cats are just all over the place. You just cannot herd them. It's like taking a trip to Israel and going to a site. All right, everybody, come here now. No more bathrooms. Come. You cannot control people. People are uncontrollable. They are. So it shows what authority you have. None. So, we only have entertainment these days. All that happens today in America is worthless because there's no authority. You know that there are Americans that don't recognize our government as being legitimate. They don't recognize their authority. They believe, lots of people, millions of Americans, believe that the government itself is the evil. They won't even obey it. I mean a lot. Much more than you imagine. And then there are gangs in the city that do not acknowledge the police have authority. Even when they grab them and wrestle them to the ground, they still won't acknowledge them. You just can't control them. And there are places in some cities that the police won't even go because the police have no authority. With all their guns, they might be outgunned, and they just leave that area alone. I know where some of these areas are. You cannot go there and just do what you wish. And the police won't go there. They could kill and rape and steal. They wouldn't go. Isn't that amazing? So, what is government? What is authority? Now, today I want to talk about something very small. I've raised now confusion, and now I'm going to clarify the confusion by the Word of God. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents, plural, in the Lord, for this is right. Ah, now we finally have one answer. Children, obey your parents. So here's a children. Here's a children. And here's obedience. Obedience. You're going to obey your parents. Now here are the parents. I'll put a bracket around these parents. Mom and dad. Regardless of how they're related. Because you see, the father here has headship over the mother here. Kephale means head. So the man is the head. The wife is always submitted, in theory. So the wife is called to submit to the head. But what does it mean? How many wives today are submitted to their husbands? How many know that we have husbands that aren't worthy of submitting to? So, am I a husband worthy of submitting to? Or who decides? Does Peg get to decide whether I'm worthy to submit to? Do I get to decide? I'm the head. You yell it, and then that's it? Do you have to also hit them in the mouth? I said I was the charge. So that's how some men rule. Just physically, fear is put upon the subject. Now you see, I am the head. Or is a head actually a servant? Well, the Bible answers it. The Bible says that the one is the head is like the father over the son and the son over every man and every man over his wife. We did that last week. You remember how we established that last week? That a man who is not submitted to Christ, his wife will not be submitted to him, and his children will not be submitted to them. That's just a fact. If you have a child that's rebellious, you have a parent that's rebellious. Now, I'm going to say it again because that was a strange thing to say. If you have a child that rebels, the one on the bottom, if the child rebels, the parent has first rebelled. Do not be shocked or surprised. We didn't do anything wrong. I don't know what happened to her. I don't know what happened to him. Just a stubbornness, I guess, came over them. Maybe they picked it up at school. No. Rebellion begins in the parentage. But how far can I trace it back? Children to the parent, to Jesus, to the Father. Here's the problem. It stops with us. It doesn't go back to Jesus. Jesus was not rebellious. So the Bible settles that one. The authority on high, exousia, settles that the Father is never rebellious. And the Son said, listen to the Son, I always do what's pleasing to my Father. Ah, there you see a true relationship. So we have a perfect example of how to do it. Jesus said, I always do what's pleasing to the Father. So the Father's the head, and the Son is submitted to the head. Jesus is never the head, and the Father is never submitted to Jesus. Do you see that? We discussed that last time. That even though Jesus and the Father are one, there's another sense in which they are not one. But the Father is always the head, and Jesus is always the submitted one to the head. Jesus is never the head. Father, do this. No. You see, and in some countries, the background is that whatever the Father says, whether he's drunk or sober, whatever he says, whether it's demonic or true, the child just obeys. This was the Chinese teaching. In China, it didn't matter whether you were strong or weak, smart or dumb, wicked or good. Whatever you said, the child had to obey. And the society would back it up. So when the father spoke with authority, the son had to obey no matter what. And as a consequence, the son would be killed if he did not obey his father. And the community would back it up. That's amazing. So there you have powerful authority. But the authority there, might is right. And the child quickly learned, no matter how powerful he was, that he couldn't defeat the father and all the community backing him up. So in Chinese society, they aren't used to questioning authority. And they bow to their elders. They bow to their elders. You can tell, huh? There's deference shown. I defer to you. I don't want you to leave this house tonight. It's the end of it. Yes, Father. Beautiful. Now, was it done from the heart? No. It was done out of fear. I'll cut you out of the will. I'll beat you with a stick. I'll have you killed. That is a motivating factor in China. And even when communism came along, it only supported then that same structure, only it put itself into the mix. Now, it isn't the earthly father, it is the Chinese communist father. And so the party became the ruling entity. And all over the world today, confusion arises. Because now who is the father? Who is in charge? Who is the boss? Who has authority? Now, again, Jesus solves this problem for us. Because Jesus always obeys the Father. So I know the first two are okay. One and two are perfectly in charge. The question is, who are you? Where are you? Are you under authority? Because if not, you have no authority. All authority is from God. All power is from God. You don't have any authority unless you're speaking what God would be speaking. In other words, I don't have a right to speak to my wife in any other way than Jesus would speak to my wife. So if Jesus would yell at her, I can yell at her. But Jesus doesn't. He would yell at me for yelling at her. Because Jesus wants me to love my children, to love my wife, and to serve her. So that is what Jesus means by the word head. Now, if a child grew up in a home like that, the child would not rebel. And I want to say something strong. I have four children. We have four children. And none of them rebelled. They never openly, outwardly rebelled. Nor did they kind of like sneak around behind and do things. Get drunk or, you know, sleep around or whatever. They didn't do it. They obeyed us. You will not date. You will not wear mascara. Whatever. You see how rigid I was? Like a god, like a king. Now, the question is this, is what I told them from God or from me? So, Kara, my oldest, said, Dad, you said God was God, right? Right. Did God say I couldn't wear mascara? And I said, good question. I will go and ask God. And she said, I'm going to ask him too. Very clever. You see how she worked it out. So she came back and said, I said, well, what did you get? He said it was all right. So she heard that I was wrong and that God wasn't speaking through me, but that he spoke clearly to her, being 13. And I said, well, I heard the opposite. And she said, Dad, go back and ask again. Do you see that power? You see that beauty? I'm not interested whether she wears mascara or not. That's not my first interest. My first interest is to establish her under the authority of God. You see this? Whether she wears a mascara or doesn't wear it, whether she obeys me or disobeys me, is not the issue. There's a bigger issue. And I'm only interested in the bigger issue, that she knows there's only one authority, whether I've spoken rightly or wrongly, is secondary. The primary thing is, but you must never do anything unless God commands you to do it, or permits you to do it, or doesn't forbid you from doing it. See what I did? Now, she eventually went and got the mascara, wore it, defied me, rebelled. Upon examination, she lied. Carl, did you put on mascara? Mother said she saw some lines on your eyebrows, or wherever you put mascara, I don't even know where it goes. Eyelashes, all right. No, sir, answereth she, with a perfect straight face. No, sir, I did not. Very good. So you claim you didn't wear it. Correct. Very good. Problem. Mother said she found a pencil in your purse, or whatever it is, a little brush or whatever it is. I don't know. I never wore it. And I cited that evidence as one having authority over her that she rebelled from. And she said, I don't know how that got there. And I said, are you telling me the truth? Do you believe Mother has lied? No, sir. She just thought that I had put it there, but somebody else had. So that's not your mascara. No, sir. And you weren't wearing any. No, sir. Do you want me to believe you? Yes, sir. So she deliberately, knowingly, consciously lied. Now, what kind of authority do I have? Do you understand? So I said to her, I will believe you this time, and I will stop Mother from pestering you over it. I will go with you. I will say Mother was wrong because you told me what you thought. She walked away happy. See that? She just walked away happy. The next time she gets caught again, Mother catches her again, even this time with more solid evidence. How many know that mothers can be very persistent? So she has solid evidence. So I call Kara in again. Kara, Mother said you've been wearing it again. And I never wore it. Dad, no, I'm not wearing it. Okay, you wouldn't lie to me twice. I didn't lie the first time. Oh, she's clever. So clever. So, Mother gives her side of the story. Kara gives her side of the story. Of course, I know that Kara is lying. And Mother is correct. But Mother doesn't know that I know. So I say to Mother, Mother, this is mine to do as the head of the house. I'm examining Kara. I believe her. I don't believe she would lie to me. Kara, would you lie to me? No, sir. You want to have a relationship with me. You don't want to rebel against me and have all my fury come against you. No, sir. Good. Then I believe you. Do you want me to believe you? Oh, yes, sir. I have not done it, Dad. Good. That makes me feel very good, and I'll talk to Mom. You go and play. So, one day, months later, having worn mascara, I'm sure, many, many times, as soon as she left the house, she got it out, put it on. But I didn't catch her, 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 I didn't catch her. And no matter what evidence Mom came up with, no, we're believing our daughter won't lie. But she's lying, Mother says. I know she's lying, but I don't want to catch her. I want the Holy Spirit to catch her. Do you see the difference? Now, I am caring more about my daughter than I am about the law. Just legalistic performance. Because even if she had obeyed us, she still wanted to put it on anyway. She still wasn't really going along with our program. Do you understand? So I wanted to break her all the way to the end. In other words, I wanted her to be under God. So one day as she was praying and writing in her journal about life, because I had taught her how to pray, pour out everything, it came up, the mascara. I never read the journal, so I don't know what exactly came up, but whatever it was, she realized, God, I love you. And then she realized she had lied to her father. She had lied to her mother. So she came to my door. Yes? Who is it? Dad, it's me. And I opened the door. What's wrong, sweetheart? Someone hurt you?
Yes. No. I mean, I have to say something.
What is it?
I lied!
And she confessed. Why? Based upon her time with the one who has authority, not me. I couldn't back up my authority. Because I had evidence, and I'm sure it was correct, but I did not have enough evidence to convict her so that she'd never do it again. Do you understand? So, but the Holy Spirit answered our prayers. God, I want you to convict her. And when she came and cried and went before me, I said, but Kara, have you lied to me twice?
Yes.
And to mother too?
Yes, to mother too.
And to Jesus too?
Yes, and to Jesus too.
That's awful. I can never trust you again. You don't want a relationship with us. You just want to abuse us and rebel.
No, Dad, no. I mean it. I'm sorry.
Well, how can I believe you? You've lied. Maybe you're lying now.
I'm not.
But I can't believe you. You've lied twice, and you just confessed it. Now, out of her own mouth, she condemned herself. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? But since I love my daughter, and yet I also want her to obey, I let the Holy Spirit break her so that I had written out a contract that said, I'm never going to lie again to my parents. I'm going to seek that relationship. By the way, I have this still to this day. I'm not going to rebel anymore. I'm going to submit to the authority of the Word of God. And if I don't, I know they'll take away all privileges and so on and so forth. And it was all written out. She agreed to all of it. Very powerful. Now, you see, I didn't do that. I wrote the contract based on the scripture that God backed up. I didn't have the authority. I had the authority, but she didn't listen to or believe my authority because she was rebelling against Jesus' authority in that area. The question was not whether Jesus was for mascara. The question whether Jesus has authority to decide the issue. Do you all see that? Listen, it's a different issue. The issue is not whether it's right or wrong. The issue is whether you have to ask Jesus whether it's right or wrong. It's not what is right or wrong. It's who decides what is right or wrong. Her, me, or Jesus. Do y'all see that? So authority is your ability or capacity to go back to God himself and his son and then say it. And if I said what he said, then let him back it up. Did you see that? Now, if she was 4, it would have been different. But she was now 13. So at 13, it's a very good time to wrestle these things out. Because at 13, young girls and young boys begin to think of rebellion. They begin to think not of their parents' authority, but of the group they're with, what they're doing. But Dad, all the kids are doing it. I don't care. We will do it God's way. I know, Dad, but they'll all call me a freak. They'll cut me off. And you see, a little kid wouldn't say that, but a 13-year-old would. Because suddenly something chemically happens to a 13-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 15-year-old, and they're beginning to be different. They don't want to just be under their parents now. They suddenly rebel. They begin to just think, well, I don't agree with you on that. What? You know, if a 10-year-old had said that, it'd been a spanking at once. But this is a 13-year-old. You all follow me? We're talking about child raising. What it is to raise a child. 11, no problem. 12, right in there, it becomes a problem. Discipline hard someone who's 11 down. Are you 11 yet, Isaac? No. Okay. Because if you were 11, then we might talk. But you see, A good spanking is what helps. You know, you know that will do it. Now, what God is saying is, don't take authority that isn't yours. For example, if I would say, God has told me that we are all to fast for the next week. If I were to say that, some of you would immediately go, yahoo, let's do it. And some of you would do it because you heard God. And you would say, that's exactly what God told me, so I'm excited about it. Others would say, well, I'm going to do it, but I don't want to do it, but I will do it because Pastor Jim said to do it. And you hadn't really heard Jesus yourself. And others would say, I ain't doing it. And others would say, I have no idea. I think I'll leave this church. Suddenly I feel like God is calling me to go to another church. You know, so everybody would have a problem with my authority claiming Jesus' authority, which was God's authority. Do you see that? So the question is, do I force my authority because it came from God? Or do I let God, who gave the authority, back up his own authority? You understand that? Let's say I knew I heard God. Still, did he ever give me authority to force my authority on someone else? The answer, no. I have no authority. I have authority to tell you the truth. I don't have authority to make you do it, even against your will. I don't have that authority. What about, do I have the authority to manipulate you into doing it? Trick you into doing it? Pastors are gifted at tricking people with words and with all kinds of innuendos and so on. They're manipulators. Pastors are very good. They can make it sound like you're going to hell if you don't. Are you all aware of that? I won't do it. Why? He never did that to me. Jesus told me what to do, but he never forced me to do it. But I know there are consequences. If he told the truth, and of course he always does, then there are consequences to my not obeying him, right? And the way I learn then is by disobeying and finding out the consequence comes, and now I'm in a dilemma. Wow, I didn't read my Bible today. I didn't forgive my wife today. Whatever it is he told me to do, and if I didn't do it, it would have a consequence. And the Father would see to it, because he loves me, to chasten me by letting the consequence come upon me, depending on how mature I am. Did you see that? Do you all see that? I'm not trying to force you to understand this. I'm just declaring it so that you can see it. I don't have the power to back up my authority. He does. How many know it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict of sin? Not mine. Mine's only to declare you're doing wrong if you don't obey. So I can declare it, but I don't have any power to back it up. All right, I'm firing all of you. I don't have that power. All right, I'm going to take away your lunch money. I don't have that power. I don't have any power. So the only power I have is the power of the mouth to declare what God has said. I can pray, I can fast, I can teach, I can explain, but I cannot force. I just say it. That's it. How weak. How weak. Pastors used to have authority. If a pastor would say something in a small Texas town, the people would listen. They would respect. Today, nobody listens to what the pastors have to say, except a handful of people. There are a handful of people that will, but very few who will just do it blindly or do it because they really think that the man spoke God's word. But the majority, never. The majority of people in any given congregation aren't going to do what the pastor says. I don't care who he is. And they don't care if the Pope said it. And they don't care what the Pope said about abortion. And they don't care what anybody says about anything. People have become very strong, self-governing. Well, I don't feel like doing it. Well, I don't see the point. Well, I don't understand that. Well, I'm not going to do it. In fact, relatives will even tell another relative, well, you can get an abortion. Well, the priest said that I shouldn't. Well, what's he know? In fact, he's a pedophile. I wouldn't even listen to him. And they can talk you out of any kind of authority. Even though the priest may have been a pedophile, still what he said about abortion was right. Do you all understand what I'm saying? So who has authority? And what kind of authority is it if a man's a pedophile and then says something godly to you? Does he really have authority? Does he? Doesn't he? Question. Now, if the ministry is to have authority among the people, it has to have a large element of obedience in the minister. If he's disobedient, people are not going to listen. Not in today's world. In the past, many people would have listened, even if the minister were guilty. And that still happens. You can see it. Many times the minister has had an affair. Many times the minister has stolen the money. Many times the minister himself has been sinful, openly, publicly, egregiously. And people know about it. And still, some people will defend him. Y'all aware of that? And they'll go, well, he is the minister, though. That's good, because they're respecting the office, even though they disrespect the person. Nevertheless, it stretches things a lot to find out who has authority. Now, how can a child grow up in that kind of environment where home is dysfunctional, church is dysfunctional, state is dysfunctional, and the whole business world is dysfunctional? Do you see the consequences of the modern world where everybody's his own king, his own boss, and ends up nobody is? There's where we are today. So how will one reestablish it? Well, one way is for me to teach what authority is, and that parents have God-given authority over their children up until the age of 18. That's a legal age. 19, 20, 21. What is the age? It used to be you couldn't drink or you couldn't vote until you were 21. Now they lowered it. But is that God lowering it? Did God change his mind? When is an adult an adult? Children want to know these things, and they don't want it to be confusing. Naturally, children are going to vote for lower. I think I should be able to run my own life. I remember my last daughter. She decided at 17 she was mature. She told me that. Dad, I'm not like the others. I'm not like Carr and Kirsten and David. I'm mature now. Give me my own car. And don't give me a junk. I want a nice car. But Margaret, you don't know what you're doing. Dad, I've watched the others. They all had two accidents at least. If I give you a nice car, you'll destroy it. I have to give you a big, old, bad, ugly car so that you won't get killed. Dad, you're not listening to me. I won't. Well, that comforts me a great deal. Comforts me a great deal. Still, we're going to give you this old car. Dad, I'll be ashamed. That's right. But I won't be out so many dollars. And you won't be dead. You're going to drive this big old ugly thing. Dad, I won't. Good. Very good. I save on gas and insurance. But that isn't fair. I got to have a car. Everybody has them. Good. Drive with everybody.
You don't understand. I've got to have one.
That's good. You'll do it my way or the highway. I mean, that's it. I'm not negotiating. So, you see, she was ready at 17. But after three accidents, we had another discussion. You see, she did make the same mistake her brothers and sisters did. And what a wonderful teaching that was. I remember the moment, the hour, the day when she called up. And at the college that she was going to, she called up and said, Dad, look, sit down. Sit down. Sit down? What? 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 Say what? What? I knew already. Sit down, Dad. Dad, are you sitting down? Yes, yes. I need to come home and tell you something. Oh, good. Good. You're going to tell me something. You want to say it now? No, no, Dad. Just sit down. I'll be right there. And I wanted so much to say, you didn't have an accident, did you? But I didn't say that. I waited for her to come in. And when she came in the door, Dad, sit down. So I sat down. Okay. Is my fault? What's your fault? Dad, just let me finish. I banged the car up again. I ruined it. The engine's gone. Oh. But, like you taught me last time, don't blame others. It's all my own fault. And Dad, before you say anything, I'm going to pay for it. Really? Where will you get the money? Dad, I am going to pay for that car. Good. That is good. That's good to hear. First question. Are you hurt? No. Second question. Do you take full responsibility? Dad, I just said I did. Good. Then don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. It's just a piece of tin. It's just another car. Boom. Now, what was I after? Obedience? Yes. But I wanted her to be responsible under God herself. At whatever age she was at that time, I don't remember. But my purpose is not to force her, compel her, control her. My purpose is to declare to her that you have a God and you have to obey God. And when you do something wrong, don't blame anyone else because the Bible doesn't allow it. Even if it's their fault, you take responsibility. And she did. And I told her, I'm so proud of you. Therefore, you're not going to pay for it. I'm going to pay for it. I'm your father. I love you. And I trust you. And I don't care what you did. You took responsibility just like I wanted. Wow. Do you see how that builds a relationship between a daughter and her father? It's a tremendous relationship there. This dad I will follow. Why? Because he's on my side. Up until that moment, we weren't sure. Now, God is the same in your life. There are things that you do that is not clear whether you're rebelling or doing what he says. For example, he said, rejoice always. How many are doing that? Rejoicing always. Always rejoicing. He said it in the book. He said it. In fact, he repeated it several times. One time he even said, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. He said it two times. Rejoice no matter what. No matter how many trials and troubles and tribulations and problems and difficulties. Count it all joy. He's like crazy. Telling me to do something that I don't feel like doing, don't understand, I don't want to do it. But I obey him because I know he's telling the truth. Now, you see, when God says obey, he means obey. You don't get to think. You don't get to feel. You don't get to want. It's none of your business. You just do what he says because you trust him. So if he says rejoice always, I do it not because I understand it. I don't understand it. Not because I feel it. I don't feel it. Not because I want it. I don't want to. But God is my supreme out of being authority. He's the one that told me to do it. And all I have to do is read his word. And I believe he wrote this word. I don't believe this is a human word. I believe he wrote this word. Because of that, it has authority for me. Now, if I speak this word that's in here accurately, not with tricks, not in some fancy, interesting way, but in a way that you could understand yourself what God hath said, then you'll come under authority, not because I manipulated you, not because I tricked you, but because you heard God for yourself. That's powerful. I would say there are very few churches today that allow that kind of freedom. Ministers are master word crafters who can manipulate people. They can play on their sympathies. They can play on their fears. They can play on their logic. I have never done that to y'all, ever, and I never will. I won't do it because that's wicked. First of all, I'm not God. I'm not Jesus. I'll let Jesus do that. Let's say I don't have a lot of clients. I don't care. I don't care how many people come or don't come. I'm just going to do what he told me to do, and I'll leave him build his church. Did you all see that? He never said, Jim, I want you to build my church. What he said was, I will build my church. Now, it's true. I may be part of that, but I'm not going to go beyond my authority. I can speak with authority, but I can't back up my authority. I don't have any means by which to back it up. Why does he leave me in such a weakened position? Because there are other ways that you gain authority. I'll tell you one way. If a man treats his wife correctly and she submits to him, not because he's a tyrant, but submits to him because she trusts that what he said is what Jesus would say and had said, and that it was for her good. That's the only reason Peggy would obey. And if that's true, the children would see that we weren't rebelling, And therefore, since mother wasn't rebelling against father and father wasn't rebelling against Jesus, then the children wouldn't rebel against the parent. Do you all see that? So authority is not only that I said the right words, but that my life agreed with the words I spoke. Do you all see that? This is very powerful. The problem today in the world and in the church, in society and in the church, is we don't have this kind of reality, not enough of it, some of it. There are many ministers that are pure, that are true, that are accurate, that are righteous. I know, I'm in fellowship with lots of them. So I believe that there are other men of God just like us, David. We were at a meeting the other day. And these are great people, are they not? Yeah. Sweet, precious people. And they have their lives in order and so on and so forth. And I believe they have authority for that reason. Ours may be one of the largest ministerial groups in America. Maybe in the world, who knows. But it's a big body. It's a large body. But it's highly restricted. They don't have a lot of authority or power over the members. They have just enough, but not too much. And we get into some close ones, but nevertheless, I continue to go back because they've stuck to the authority that they were originally given and don't try to steal anymore. The moment they steal more, I'm out. I'm gone. And I suspect they may someday. I suspect the people that were part of the founding generation have remained true, but the new people coming in, I suspect, have another mind. Do you all understand? So I will leave at a moment's notice. In fact, I thought of leaving the other day when a certain issue came up. And if it had gone another way, I probably would have said, then I'm going to leave. I don't want to be part of this fellowship any longer. Because unless you're submitted to God and His truth, I don't like games and manipulations and tricks and deals. I don't want to be part of it anymore. So I don't have any allegiance to any human being on the face of the earth. No pope, no emperor, no boss, nobody in charge. No president, no IRS, no police, no nobody. I don't fear them. Did you hear me? Now, the only reason I do fear them is to the extent Jesus said, honor them, fear them, give them what's their due. But what's their due means they're not due everything. He couldn't say to me, give them what's their due if they were due everything. The only reason he says that to me is because I'll have to decide what's their due. Otherwise, there's no point in saying that. He would just say, they're God. No, but he didn't say it. Give them their due. That's the Most High God telling me through Jesus, the Most High God with all authority in heaven and earth, saying, give to Caesar what's his due. That means he isn't due everything. Whatever he's due, it's not everything. Well, the Bible immediately after saying that tells me exactly what he's due. Honor, fear, taxes, and tribute. Period. Nothing more. That's it. That's all he's due. So, Caesar is a limited person, and I will die over that. That also grants me authority. Because I stuck to the word of God, I'll die over it, and only Jesus could back me up. Otherwise, I'll be a dead person. Because sometimes the government is so corrupt that they'll just use power and not listen to authority at all. Sometimes the government is so corrupt. How many know that our government is not made of the same kind of people? Some are true and some are false. Some in the CIA are wicked traitors. Others in the CIA are true to the Constitution. But there are many that are not. There are many that are. So I don't know and I don't care. I'm just telling you, I don't just obey authority when it's given to me. I find out whether it's in line with God, because if it is not in line with God, it has no authority at all. So if a policeman stops me on the street and tells me what to do, I may or may not obey. I may disobey because I know he has no authority to tell me to do what he's telling me to do. I've yelled at many a policeman, no! I won't do what you said. And I'm fierce, I'm strong. And nothing may happen, something may happen, whatever. But I'm not afraid because you don't have a power and authority to do just whatever you want to do. I obey God. And I'll say stuff like this. And I've said this to strong people. Tell me your name. I'm going to write it down. I'll speak to your superior. Ah, that puts fear in him. He's writing my name. Give me your number. Just give me your number. And I just take over. I just assert my authority and take over. I will do what you say as long as you are really a policeman. I don't know that you're a policeman. I don't know that you've done your job. I don't know who you are. You don't just tell me what to do. You're under the law. You're under authority. I won't come under you until you're under the law. Oh, there, I've slowed the guy down. Did you see what I just did? Now, sometimes you lose your life doing that. You have to know what you're doing, and you have to be willing to die. I am. These things are so important to me that I don't value my life. Do you understand? I was once in a communist country with no American embassy, no American presence, nothing. And the guy told me, a big guy, 6'4", his name, I can remember his name, Alexander. Huge guy. And he came back to me sitting on the train in his little country. We were passing through his country. Passport. So I showed him my passport. And he looked at it. Get off the train. I said to him, no. I will not get off the train. Give me my passport back. No. You'll get off the train. This was in a communist country. And I said to him, I don't obey you. He said, you will obey me. I am the law. I want to speak to your superior. I am my superior, he said to me. And he has the uniform and so on. You've ever seen these Russian-type music? This guy was the epitome of that guy. Now, I'm not very strong, but my voice is strong. So I told him, no, I will not leave. I'm not getting off this train. You will get off. And he has his gun, and he has his soldiers, and they're all getting nervous. So I said to him, I want to speak to the American embassy. There is no American embassy. Then I want to speak to the council. There is no council. I'm telling you, I am the authority. Well, this is a problem. So I prayed. I sat there and prayed, Jesus, am I to obey this guy and get off the train? It took me 21 hours to get to this spot. And now passing through, something apparently is wrong. He showed it to me. And I saw the word on the passport. I had paid for a passport with what's called multiple entries and exits. You can go in and out more than once. But it said on my passport, una. I'd paid $65 to get not una. But somehow I got una, and I never paid attention to it. He did. So he asserted his authority over me. So here we are battling it out. And Jesus said, go with him, no harm will come. So I picked up my stuff, got off the train, sat out on the bench. And he's over there talking to about 10 of his soldiers. Now I'm in a communist country, no American presence, no American, they don't recognize America. And here I am, they're captive. And the train pulls away. Now I'm stuck there. There are cannons and tanks and everything. This is communism. So, as I'm sitting there, because I heard Jesus, I decided to get up. What are you doing? I want to know your name. Now, you remember, I have nobody to back me up. So I am, 5'9½" or 10 or whatever I am. I just walk up and, Mr. Alexander, I want to write your name and your number. So I write it all down. And they're all looking like, what is this guy? He's crazy. He's American, I guess. I want justice done. You sit down, sit down. I will not sit down. And I'm arguing with a guy in his land with nothing, and the train is gone. I'm now finished. But Jesus told me, I trust Jesus. I have no fear at all. Do you understand? I'm telling you, you wouldn't do this. I'm just telling you how I fear and respect authority. So, He puts me in his car, puts my stuff in his trunk, puts me in the car. And when we get in the car, just wait. And he doesn't speak any English, but he can say a few words and I understand what he's saying. So he's telling me, trust me. Trust me. In other words, nobody else in this country, you may be killed, but I will take care of you. That's what he was telling me. But we weren't talking. He was just saying. And I was just sitting in the back, happy as can be, get out my book, start reading. That's what I always do. We go to his office, and as we're driving along the town, he says, huh? And I'm looking out the window at what he's uh-ing at, and he says, mafia. Ah, so I see there's a problem. Communism and mafia are having a battle. Who is going to control this communist country? The communists or the mafia? The mafia live in nice houses. The communists live in hovels. So he's letting me know, I hate those guys. So I have an ally here. So we go into his office, the gate shuts, the fence, all this stuff, and now you're locked in. Now you're inside his little realm. He can do what he wishes. There's no appeal. I have no appeal. Of course, the American government can always come and get me. And believe me, they would. But nevertheless, you don't know, and maybe they'll kill you first. So I'm sitting there reading my book, and he says to me, I knew he was saying, what are you reading? Ah! So I'm already having fun because I know this guy's on my side. And I checked his office out. So, what are you reading? And so I was saying, this is a book about Jesus. Because all my books are about Jesus. This is a book about Jesus. Amen. And then I said it in Russian. You know, Christos Voskreas. Ah, he understood. He said, ah. And then he'd say, Evangelist? Are you an evangelical? Nah. Pentecostist? No. Yet. Catholic? Yet. Doesn't know what to say. He's trying to figure out who I am. And I point at the picture of the Virgin Mary on his wall, which is the Orthodox Church of Russia. And I say, you? Christos? You? Ah, no. My mother, he said it, whatever, how he reset it. That's my mother made me put that picture up of the Virgin Mary watching over me. Ah, very good, I said. And so he said, we eventually were able to say a few words together. Can you give me a book? Can you give me one of your books? Ah, you want one of my books? And so I'm playing with him. I'm having fun with him. Yes. And he said, so I said, I don't have any books, but next time when I come through, I will give you a book. Yes, that was good. He totally, not only did he send me to the border later when I had to go all the way back, and, you know, it was nothing. I just went back and they put in multiple exits and yeah, I could go on through. But I had to go back 20 hours and come back 20 hours. So that meant I couldn't teach. And so I was complaining, this is a terrible thing. Una. He was trying to explain to me, I'm only under the law. I'm only doing what's right. You only have una. I don't care about your reality. I only see this. And I said, you know, that's why I must obey him, because he's obeying the law. And that's why I won't be harmed. He walked me then across, there's a huge river there, and he walked me across himself up to the midpoint, the river midpoint, that's one country, that's another country. Ukraine, Dniester. I was in Dniester at the moment. He walks me not only to the midpoint, but past the midpoint. Then their guards from the other country accompany us. So there's a whole bunch of us now walking across the river. And he was telling them, no, you take care of this guy. I don't know what he said, but I know what he was saying. You take very good care of this guy. He's a monster. You know, troublous, you know. And I want him to go back and get his visa figured out, and then he can go on through, no problem. So God took care of me in a bad situation because I feared God. Do you see that? And I wasn't afraid of the man. I don't care about the man. But I believe that my God rules the world. Amen. And therefore, I only have one allegiance to the God Most High. And his son, who's completely obedient to him, I will obey. And any Alexander that obeys that same obedience, I will obey. I have no problem obeying. Do you see that? In our world today, we don't have obedience. Even Jesus said that. He said, you know, there's so little obedience in the world today, so little authority in the world today. Nobody's paying attention. Why? Because men have abused their power? So what? Even if men have, God hasn't. So I can always take it back to God. And I don't care who you are, I will obey you if you obey him. But I will not obey you if you rebel from him. So if the IRS has overstepped its bound, I don't respect them. If they stay within the bounds of the law, I respect them. As far as I'm concerned, they were invented by man. It's not under the Constitution. So I have very little respect for the IRS. I don't respect them. But I'm not going to fight that battle right now. I'm not interested in that battle. Because I asked Jesus, Jesus, should I fight this battle or another? He told me, no, do not fight that battle. Fight this battle. I believe Jesus told me that. David and I have prayed about this a lot, talked about it. Which battle is the first one to fight? Listen to Jesus. Let judgment begin in the household of God. What we're talking about is children obeying their parents. Why do children not obey? Because the parents do not obey. If the parents obey God's order and submit to it, then the children will submit to you. So, as a grandparent, you can't steal the children away from your children, even if they're doing a bad job. You see, it's your own responsibility to deal with the child. Now, they're over 21, you have no power. All you can do is say words like me. You're weak. Now, you see how strong I can use words at time? But I'm just bluffing. I'm only 5'9" and a half, 10. And Alexander's 6'4". And he's built like somebody. You know, I'm built like nothing. You could blow me away. Even without a gun. It takes nothing. But my mouth is loud. Why? Because I'm bold. When I believe I'm right, I stick to it. Without fear. I have stood many times in my life against entire armies of people. The whole church that I was once part of. I defied them because I told them, you are not obeying God, I am obeying God. So, may God be with me. What power did they have? They had all the power in the world to do anything they wanted to do, but they didn't move. They did not move. They actually respected me, even though they despised me. For defying them, they actually admired me for standing up to them. Because I didn't do it in an ugly way. I just did it in a firm, strong way. And not only did I do it that way, I did it so publicly it went all over the United States of America. It went everywhere. I published the thing everywhere so that everyone could see what I stood for and what they didn't stand for. It's very strong. Do you realize how powerful you are? A lot of women resent the fact that they're submitted. But I tell you, there's nothing more powerful than being submitted. Not to a husband. Not to a pastor. Not to Alexander. Not to President Bush. Not to the IRS. But to Jesus. Yeah. You see, there's only one God. God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That's the only God there is. And though Jesus is his son, the only reason I'm obeying Jesus is so the Father says, that's my son, listen to him. He said it. So how can I listen to God when God has already said, listen to my son? And God said, when I send you out, they're not listening to you, they're listening to me through you. And if you speak you apart from me, they're not going to listen. What we need today in the world is authority that speaks truth that sets free. Authority that speaks truth that sets free. What we need in the world are men and women who are so bold. It used to be that most of the men of this country were so unafraid of government or of anything else that they would defend their families and their communities because they feared God. That fear of God is now gone. It's not anything to worry about. I'm just telling you, I still fear God. I don't care what other men do. I don't care if they're weak or strong. I don't care if they're manipulated. I don't care if they believe in Hollywood. I don't care what they believe. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, what I would pray for, not for my own sake, for your sake, is that you would be as strong as I am to stand up against the powers of darkness and to stand for the kingdom of God. Why? Because that's why we have all the trouble we have, is because rebellion is everywhere. But where men and women stand and are unafraid, all of a sudden, God will back you up with his power. He will. And he'll vindicate you. When you stand with God, there is a God who makes Alexander favor me, protect me. He knew he was doing it, and he knew I wouldn't understand, but I did. But he made sure that they took good care of me, because that other country, he was telling them, the Ukrainians, you take good care of this man. I saw him in the office in there. He was in there. I don't have any word. I really don't know one word he said. But I could tell he was not complaining. And he came out. I knew he loved me. I knew that we had connected. I knew that somehow I said to God, God, if I go back, I am going to that country to visit him with multiple visas next time to let him know that I appreciate him. It's powerful. You see, God gives you favor even in the midst of the enemy when you stand with him. Maybe some of you are in a bad marriage. So what? Don't break the marriage. You don't have any power. You don't have any control. You know what you need to do? Laugh. Rejoice. Relax. Just make sure you obey God. Make sure you don't develop a bitterness. Make sure you stay in love. Make sure you are full of forgiveness and joy. As Jesus has obeyed the Father, even when he was crucified, Jesus didn't yell at the Father, Dad, I hate this. They're hurting me. He didn't say that. His thoughts weren't even for himself. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He was loving people even then. You know why? That was his Father's will. He was doing what his Father wanted. That's what we need in the world today. The problem with child raising and the reason why we can't break the will of children, which I'm going to talk about next time. The reason we can't break their will, because we ourselves are unbroken. You can't break the will of a child unless your own will is broken. Unless you're submitted to God, you won't rule over men. When you are under God, you'll be over men. If you are not under God, you will never be over men, even if you have the title. There are many today who have the title of being superior, but you aren't superior unless the people consent and agree to it, because God uses his power to waken up people. I can't make people listen. All I can do is declare it. God has to do the convincing. God has to do it. If God does it, it's done. If he doesn't do it, doesn't matter. I'd rather suffer than I would to manipulate people or trick people or deceive people or lie to people. Why? He never did that to me. God never treated me like that. He was the first person ever, Debbie, in my life to treat me with dignity, which I didn't deserve. But he treated me in a way that I didn't deserve, but I knew he loves me. That did something powerful inside of me. And I knew, this is the first person I can trust. This one loves me for no reason. Then your battle's over. Your battle's over. Once you know you're loved, I'll tell you, you're safe. When you know you're loved by the Most High God, who has all power, all authority, all wisdom, all strength, all glory, what's there to worry about? My Father in heaven will come through anytime, and I don't need to know if he comes through or not. I don't even care. I'll trust him that I could be destroyed, but he'd resurrect me later. Who's afraid? What we need is men today, who are willing to serve because Christ has served you, loved you. We need men today who will stand up for truth and set the captive free. You say, well, Pastor, that's good sermon, but it's not going to happen. I say to you, it will happen. Just by talking. Just by talking. I guarantee you that I spoke to somebody tonight and they said, that's going to be me. I'm going to do that. If I'm a wife, if I'm a woman, I'm going to submit, I'm going to obey God. And to the extent people around me submit and obey, I'll submit and obey them. But to the extent they do not, I don't have two gods. To the extent they do not, I won't serve them. I'll stand against them and I'll tell them and I'll cry out to God. That is a death to the flesh, but it's released to your spirit. So, is there anyone tonight who wants to testify? Pastor, I am strong from what you just shared there about authority coming out of being. That being itself has connected itself to me, and I know I have authority in what I say, and he'll back it up. Is there anyone tonight who feels that strength has gone into you? and that you could stand against a troop. You could run through a troop, leap over a wall. Hallelujah. Yes? One, two, three, four. Powerful. It's powerful. God is good. God is good. Why should we learn about child raising? Because it illustrates this point so beautifully. Children are vulnerable. They're precious. And God watches out for orphans, for widows, for the weak, for those that have no one to help them, the vulnerable. He watches out for people like that. So those who are in rulership need to fear God and not harm or injure people that are vulnerable, who could be harmed or hurt. Amen? I was vulnerable, but God protected me. Because I put my whole reliance on God. I did everything He said, and I had no fear. You couldn't say, well, were you a little bit scared? I wasn't scared at all. I was having fun. It was joyful for me. I had no fear at all. But people who were watching me wondered, what's wrong with you? You're crazy. But I was having fun. Why? Because I fear God. Do you know that Jesus was never afraid? Did you know that Jesus was never afraid? Never. Remember one time they were going to stone Him? He was never afraid. He just walked through them. Then another time they were going to stone Him. They were always wanting to stone Him. Was He afraid? Never. Do you have that kind of power? Do you have that kind of confidence? Do you have that kind of strength? Do you have that kind of assurance? Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Is He alive today or is He dead? When He died, did He rise again? If He did, where is He? I say, He's not only in heaven on high, He's in my heart, in my life, and I can testify day after day after day. He's in my marriage, He's in our church, He's everywhere. Yeah. Thanks be unto God.